Good evening. It's wonderful to be together tonight for our center point. And our theme is a midweek refresh. And our desire is that through teaching on prayer, prayer devotion, and then prayer fellowship, where we, as the Lord's people, go to the throne of grace. And then as we learn about a prayer point, that we might be spiritually refreshed and renewed. And are so excited to be together and grateful that you are here this evening. Tonight and the next few weeks, as we look at prayer devotion, we want to look at the Lord's Prayer, this model prayer that's given to us as a pattern, as a guide, as a help, that we might grow in grace and be effective in our life of prayer. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This beginning of the Lord's Prayer is both a preface as well as the first petition to the Lord's Prayer. And this preface reminds us who it is to whom we are praying. How important that is to know who the one is to whom we are going. Who is the one who is able to help us? It makes all the difference to whom we pray. And our Savior teaches us that we are to pray our Father. Just 2 points tonight, because we just have a few minutes for this. We're going to talk about God as our Father and what that means for prayer. And then we want to talk about this first petition, hallowed be your name, about hallowing, honoring the name of our great God. So our Father. One of the most striking things about the gospel and Christianity is that as we've come to know God through Jesus Christ, we who once were far off, who did not know God, who were under God's displeasure and wrath, now have a right to call him Father. And knowing God, J.I. Packer says, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. In adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship. He establishes us as his children and heirs. Closeness, affection, generosity are at the heart of the relationship. To be right with God, the judge, justification is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father, adoption is greater. Of course, we know that we can't have one without the other. It begins with a right relationship with God, of knowing him, of having a new standing, a new relation of justification. But the great privilege is that we who now know God through our elder brother, Jesus Christ, that we have been brought in to his family, in which we can call upon him as Father. This word that the Lord Jesus uses for Father is a word that speaks of closeness, of intimacy, of a child going to his own father. Our shorter catechism has such a helpful description about this part of the Lord's Prayer. It says this: the preface of the Lord's Prayer teacheth us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a father. able and ready to help us, that we should pray with and for others. And so we have this great promise that the God to whom we pray is the God that Christians who know Jesus, we pray to the one who is our Father. But this one who is our Father is described by Christ as our Father in heaven. This speaks of the mighty power of our God, that he is the one who is mighty and omnipotent in his ability to answer prayer. Isn't it marvelous that we can go to a Father who cares for us, but that same Father is able to do beyond all that we can ask or think or imagine as he accomplishes his holy will? And what a confidence that is as we bring our praises to him, or we bring our struggles to him in prayer, knowing that he is our Father who is in heaven, who is great, who is mighty, who is altogether sovereign. And so the preface to this Lord's Prayer reminds us who it is to whom we are praying. We are praying as children to our Father, and our Father is our Father who is our Heavenly Father, the one who is able to do great and mighty things. The Lord Jesus teaches us in the first petition how we are to honor our God and Father in prayer. For he teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." I know the word hallowed is a word that we don't often use in our everyday language. But you women, you might have certain pieces of utensils or pottery, china, that you set aside. They have a special box, maybe a special cabinet in which they reside. My brother had a baseball card that he greatly valued, and he had a special way of displaying and protecting that card. It was distinct from the other cards. Your everyday wear is one thing, but then you have formal wear, perhaps, or china that you set aside for special occasions. It's something that's separate. It's set aside. It is dedicated for a special purpose. And when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we are acknowledging that God is holy, that he is, as it were, different. He is set aside. And when we pray, I mean, his name is altogether, he's altogether holy. We can't add to his holiness. But when we pray this prayer, we pray that we might respect and honor, that we might find delight in who he is. The reference here to a name, "Hallowed be your name." The word name, particularly in the Bible, speaks so much of one's character, of one's identity, of one's actions. And so when we ascribe praise to God, acknowledging that he is holy, we're thinking of who he is and what he does, that everything he does is marked by holiness. And isn't it striking, as the Lord teaches us in this prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. There's some reference that it really could be the disciples' prayer, we begin not with ourselves. We begin not with our needs, We begin with who God is and with a reminder of who he is. How refreshing the Lord Jesus is in teaching us this basic principle, because so often in our own personal lives and even in Christianity, if you go to your basic Christian bookstore and you look at the books on the shelves, many of them will not be this hallowed be thy name, but more five steps to enjoyment of this or of that. It's selfward in its orientation. But how glorious and refreshing it is that the Lord Jesus sets us on the Lord, and that the way to begin with prayer and with the Lord in prayer is focusing upon whom he is and considering that he is a God who is altogether holy. And so when we pray this prayer, hallowed be thy name, as we would pray it on a Sunday morning, we're praying that God's name would be cherished and treasured and honored, that we would revere and adore and respect that name. But it's also a prayer that those around us and those in our community and to the far ends of the earth might have that same delight and love for God and treasure his character and his name. And that's the heart of what World Missions is all about, is that there might be more worshipers of our triune God, those who truly adore him and seeking to live for his glory and his great praise. I'd mentioned the shorter catechism. The question related to this first petition, hallowed be thy name. In the first petition, we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him and all that whereby he maketh himself known, that he would dispose all things to his own glory. My father came to know Christ at age 51. He had been involved in the church for many, many years, but he never heard the clear message of the gospel until my uncle and another man went to talk with him one Sunday afternoon. And a verse that became very significant to my father is one of the scripture proofs, one of the reasons or explanations given here. And that is that that we might delight in God and cherish him. It's from 1 Corinthians 10:31, and in all things that we might bring him glory. And that became the theme verse for my father in his own life as he came to know the Lord. But, you know, that is what we desire in and through prayer, is that God's name would be treasured, that we might delight in him, that his name would truly be honored or hallowed. So as we think about coming together as the Lord's people in united prayer, we come in our Savior's name and merits to a Father who is in heaven and a Father who is altogether holy. So let's begin our prayer time. It's wonderful to have some folks with us, perhaps new to our prayer time. This evening, we're going to begin praying from our tables, but praying together, one person after another. There's no pressure for anyone to pray aloud. But if you would like to pray, We'll pray for a few minutes all together. And then after that, we'll pray around tables. So you may find it helpful to join others at a table. There's also a prayer sheet or guide praying for the flock. That's a double-sided guide that we will use during our prayer time for the next half an hour. But let's go to the Lord in a season of prayer. And if you pray aloud, please lift your voice up so that others can hear you and join in if you're praying audibly. Again, no pressure for anyone to have to pray aloud. So let's begin going to the Lord's throne of grace. Let's praise God, first of all, that he is our Father. And then let's seek that his name might be honored and hallowed. So let's go to our God together in a joyful prayer.